You're listening to The Takeout.
This is your Tuesday Takeout Outtake Especial. I'm Major Garrett, Chief White House Correspondent to CBS News. We're at District Taco, pounding our way through many a breakfast taco. What better way to start the day than that? I simply do not know. Our guests, Jake Sherman and Anna Palmer, who are they? Well, they are the authors, twice a day, of Politico's Playbook, an important fountain of news and information and a little bit of trivia and a little bit of social climbing in Washington, D.C. Jake and Anna, great to have you at the Takeout Podcast microphones.
Wonderful to be
us.
Here.
So we have three threshold questions for this Takeout Outtake Especial. Our audience knows them, loves them, in no particular order. One of your favorite movies, one of your most influential books, and you're on a long flight or a long drive, what music are you most likely to listen to? Jake, you want to go first?
Sure, all three of them?
Yeah.
So my favorite book is The Ambition and the Power, which is about the House of Representatives.
One of my all-time favorites as well.
It's basically a behind-the-scenes look. It's the book that we hope to write when we're writing a book about Congress now. We will not be nearly as good as this, but it's a behind-the-scenes look at Jim Wright's speakership.
And the downfall.
And the downfall. I mean, the author was granted, John Barry, I think is his name, and he was granted amazing access to Jim Wright's life. And basically the rule was if a staff member was in the meeting, he was allowed to be in it, which is amazing. You could never see that happening today. Great behind-the-scenes book about how Congress worked in the 80s, basically.
There's a great line from that book that I've never forgotten about the reality of legislative politics, and I'll have to leave one of the words out because we're a family show, about ideas and concepts. You can have all the ideas you want, but if you don't have the votes, you don't have S.
Yeah. I'm rereading it now, and that's in the beginning of the book. I just read that again.
And that's the bottom line in the House and the Senate. You can have all the wonderful ideas, intentions, but if you don't have the votes, you have nothing.
Correct.
And that's the coin of the realm. Do you have votes, meaning do you have other colleagues, your side of the aisle or other side, to support this and have their name on the board behind that idea? If you don't, you've got nothing.
We say in the Capitol, when you have the votes, you vote. When you don't, you talk.
Exactly.
Right? I mean, that's the other. So my favorite movie is, this is not my favorite movie, but this
it's
is
one of them. It just
Fletch,
absolutely.
Which is a terrific movie.
Our third Fletch reference.
Is that right?
Not, at the Takeout, yes.
Wow. I have to go back to the tape and look who the others were.
Babar, is that one or R2s?
What's that? I'm a big music fan, as Anna knows and some others know. I'm a huge Fish and Grateful Dead fan.
Okay.
I'm on a huge Fish
That's
kick
a PH.
At the moment. PHISH from the great state of Vermont. I'm on a huge Fish kick now because I just saw them for three nights at Madison Square
Tell
Garden.
Tell them about you met Trey.
I met the band. Which is very cool.
This was big in Jake's life.
This was like a moment that I will never forget, ever.
It is, I hope, been memorialized in some way, either on video or stills or something.
Yes, my wife took some videos. I went with NBC's Katie Turr, who's also a big Fish fan. And she's married to CBS correspondent Tony Dukapil. So he was also, we all went and we saw, we got to meet them and see a couple shows. So it was a lot of fun.
Very good. Anna?
Mine will be less political, man. So my favorite book, I think, To Kill a Mockingbird.
Great book.
That's a great
book. It's like a great book to keep reading and rereading, I feel like. I'm going to say two on the movie front.
Okay.
One, I love Rear View Window because I think it's a wonderful movie. But I also think I love Critically Unacclaimed.
So not Rear Window. The Jimmy Stewart movie, the Alfred Hitchcock, or Rear
Alfred
View?
Alfred Hitchcock.
Yeah, so that's Rear Window.
Oh, man. Clearly, I don't even know the name of it.
We're too busy for movies.
I know, I got up too early. I should have said what I... But I love Critically Unacclaimed.
Like Christmas Story or something like that.
Man. I bombed that one.
It's okay.
It's still a fabulous movie.
It's a great movie. And I love Critically Unacclaimed romantic comedies. So basically anything in that genre.
Right.
If it's on TV, I'm probably watching it.
Okay.
If it's a garbage romance movie, count her in.
It's like, you know, cotton candy when you want to turn your brain off.
Right.
And then as far as music, I'm a big country music fan.
Okay. So. Anyone in particular? Old or new?
My first concert ever was Garth Brooks.
Okay.
And I still love him.
Excellent.
Friends in Low Places.
Man. That's my karaoke song.
We should all have a karaoke song. Everyone but me. Okay. There should be no karaoke where I am involved. Yeah, I may watch, but I should never, ever, ever
participate. Me either.
We had this conversation during the main body of the show, but here's one aspect of the playbook that I want our audience to try to get a feel for. Do people come at you with tips or demands or requests? I mean, do you have this sort of constant static around your project that is sometimes helpful but other times distracting?
Mostly distracting. Listen, people want to be known in Washington, and Playbook is read by many, many people.
Do you have a sense of your audience, by the way?
We do. We have a very good sense. We don't make the number public, but we've doubled it since we've taken over, pretty much. Just short of doubled it since we've taken over in a year and a half, which is unbelievable because... you know, a lot of the same people work in D.C., so right. You kind of have a ceiling. But we've worked really hard to spread Playbook beyond D.C. to the power centers across the country, Los Angeles, New York, San Francisco, Austin. So, yes, we have. When people have job moves, they want it in Playbook. And it's difficult to tell.
Which happens a lot in this town.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a currency. I don't think I appreciated it before we took over Playbook, but there's a real currency and value for people who are downtown or on the Hill to having their name in bold in the headline. And people want, you know, where it is in the newsletter, where it, you know, lies, how much did you quote them? Everybody has some feedback about whether or not they think that was, you know, enough for them.
And is that sometimes a burden on either relationships or interactions you have with people?
Like, yes, it is.
They're like, hey, what about that? Why wasn't I higher? Or why could you do this? Or I thought it was going to be that.
Yes, totally. And people would.
Am I getting kind of the attitude in the conversation?
Yeah,
as well?
I mean, sometimes people think their story should be featured more prominently. I mean, the difficult part, which we don't like, is one of the things that's hard about Playbook is we're standing in constant judgment of our colleagues, whether their story is good or not, whether it deserves to be in Playbook, and that's
not just journalists general, but a lot of your own Politico colleagues. And there's a synergistic element to Playbook. You put a lot of Politico stories in,
but also a lot of not Politico stories, right.
which might also cause a little bit of tension in the newsroom.
Sure. Yeah.
Compared to any other political newsletter, we try to be more platform agnostic. So if
more aggregating,
yeah, or in the New York Times or if the Wall Street Journal has the best story, then we want to lead with that. But that obviously clearly is tension when sometimes with your colleagues.
Right. Now let me ask you another question that I get a lot from people who view Washington and are suspicious about it. Oh, it's all transactional. You guys are all in basically the same gig, and you all look out for each other and take hits for one another or protect each other. Talk to us, my audience, a little bit about that, and if you can, demystify it from your vantage point and your leadership of this very important entity.
Sure. I mean, I could tell you, Anna and I have written together for, almost 10 years. So, and we've taken down a couple members of Congress and written about people who were friends of ours or acquaintances of ours more than friends, people who were sources of ours. I mean, we wrote a series of stories in 2015 that led to Aaron Schock's 24-count criminal indictment about his misuse of government funds and campaign funds. We wrote about Bill Schuster, the chairman of the Transportation Committee, carrying out a longtime relationship with a lobbyist from the airline industry who had business in front of his committee. And these were people that we dealt with many times a day on a multi, all sorts of levels. So, yeah, I think there is some element of people existing in a city and seeing each other at parties and their kids going to school together, but that's a natural, I mean, that's just a geographic element. I don't think that's we at least don't pull punches based on that.
Anna, weigh in on that if you would.
Yeah, I think you get to know people, and obviously it's sourcing, it's source development, but I think from our perspective, I think we try to be really honest brokers. I think we take a huge responsibility for what we do in terms of making sure that you know that, you know, if it's a former colleague gets into trouble or other people as they have in the last 6 months, you know, we write about it. We put it in Playbook because you know, we can't not. I mean, once you lose your audience's their kind of trust in you, then it's over.
Exactly. That's the way it works with every story in every publication all the time.
Yes.
If you lose the trust, if you lose the credibility, you essentially have nothing.
Correct.
And that's what we know in this business, and that's what you deal with every day with the Politico Playbook, and that's what we try to always remember here at the Takeout Podcast. Jake Sherman, Anna Palmer, thank you so much. Hope you dug breakfast as much as I did.
Oh, we did.
That was great. Thank you so much.
And this has been your Tuesday Takeout Outtake Especial.
The Takeout is produced by Arden Fari and Katiana Krachenko. CBSN production by Alex Zuckerman and Eric Susanen. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Takeout Podcast. That's at Takeout Podcast. And for more, visit takeoutpodcast.com. The Takeout is a production of CBS News Radio.